This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Wednesday podcast on the 18th of June, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news, including service to others to kick off this week's Indiana FFA State Convention and a Trump admin move that impacts corn growers. The Hath Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Hath Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here, too, with the Indiana Farm Forecast, which includes thunderstorm possibilities. And yesterday, the corn, bean, and wheat markets all gained some ground. Market analysis today with Arlen Suderman on the way on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, Member FDIC.
McDonald's of Indiana proudly supports our local farmers and suppliers. McDonald's sources millions of their products from the talented farmers here in the Hoosier State. As you gather to celebrate this year's Indiana FFA State Convention, remember to fuel your passion with your McDonald's favorites. Download the McDonald's app now and order with ease. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Indiana FFA members living to serve as convention kicks off, and a big win for the ethanol industry and corn growers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The 96th Indiana FFA State Convention is underway. CJ Miller joins us now as FFA chapters across the state are taking action from the FFA motto and are living to serve by packing 40,000 meals for Hoosiers in need.
Thank you, Eric. I'm on the road at Southmont High School as we kick off the 96th Indiana FFA State Convention, and I'm with Caitlin Marcheski. She is a graduate of Tri-Central High School in Tipton County, the community service project going on here today. Caitlin, tell me all about it.
So today at Southmont High School, we have FFA members from all over the state coming together to do the Million Meals Challenge. So they're packing meals for their local communities, and these meals will be spread out throughout all of Indiana, all of our counties, really trying to make an impact.
And it's all fulfilling that last part of the FFA motto, living to serve.
Absolutely. Our motto is learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve. And so the community service projects like this are ways that we can really live out the last part of that motto and something that we as FFA members love doing.
Also this week, the campus of Purdue is hosting the 96th Indiana FFA State Convention, and so much going on this week with the convention, Caitlin.
Absolutely. So we have six sessions that will be kicked off tonight, highlighting our members' experience and their accomplishments throughout the year. The past 2 days, we've been completing our career and leadership development contests here at Southmont High School, and so these sessions will be a time that chapters will be able to find out the results of those contests and how they did.
And our coverage all week long of the 96th Indiana FFA State Convention, brought to you by McDonald's of Greater Indiana, on the road at Southmont High School for the 96th Indiana FFA State Convention. I'm CJ Miller.
Running for office? From the school board to the state house to Washington, D.C., your first race or your fifth. Learn the skills to win at Indiana Farm Bureau's Campaign School, July 29th and 30th in Indianapolis. Led by AFBF staff and supported by Indiana Farm Bureau, this program helps candidates who care about Indiana agriculture run smart, effective campaigns. All political parties welcome. Seats are limited. Register at infb.org/events. Indiana Farm Bureau supports supporting leaders who care about agriculture.
President Trump struck a win for the ethanol industry and corn growers last week when he signed a congressional resolution to rescind California's electric vehicle mandate. California vows to sue the Trump administration, but for now, a Biden-era waiver that allowed the state to phase out the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035 has been rescinded. President Trump signed the congressional measure ending the California ban and that of 11 other states and D.C. that followed California.
You couldn't buy any other car except an electric-powered car. And in California, they have blackouts and brownouts. They don't have enough electricity right now to do the job. And countrywide, you'd have to spend $4 trillion to build the firing plants, charging plants.
California argued that its rule would benefit both public health and the environment by reducing emissions. But the ethanol industry warned early on that the huge California market for lower emission corn ethanol would evaporate.
If that is, in fact, what happens, yeah, it's going to have some far-reaching impacts on the fuel market. And by extension, it's going to have an impact on the corn market.
That's Renewable Fuels Association President Jeff Cooper.
California is the single largest consumer of gasoline when you look at all 50 states, and the single largest consumer of ethanol.
Trump also signed resolutions to overturn California rules that require most new trucks sold in the state to also be electric. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's going to be an interesting Wednesday as we take a look at it. Have a little bit of moisture trying to work through before the frontal boundary shows up. And then as we move through the afternoon and evening hours, do have a chance for showers and thunderstorms, as some of them can be strong to severe. There is an enhanced risk for severe weather across the Hoosier State. My opinion is the biggest rains and the biggest threat for thunderstorms, strong to severe weather, is going to be in Michigan first, and then southern Illinois, Kentucky, and maybe far, far, far southern Indiana second. Most of the Hoosier State, I think, ends up with garden variety thunderstorms. Now, that can change very easily based on where the heat really pools today and just what our instability indices do. But right now, the low seems to want to have a track from Chicago to Kalamazoo to the thumb of Michigan. That's the track of the low, and I think that's where the biggest rains and the biggest thunderstorm threat turns out to be. We'll see. Keep your eye to the sky here later this afternoon. We clear out overnight tonight, looking at a partly sunny sky for Thursday, mostly sunny then to finish the week Friday on into the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be warm, temperatures well above normal, high evaporation, fast drying. As a matter of fact, the rain that we see today will have to hold us till all the way into midweek next week. I think our next round of scattered showers comes late next Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, and then we again see some heat-based hit and miss thunderstorm action, but no significant frontal boundary coming in until closer to Sunday the 29th. So a longer-term dry window opening up here. That's why the rains that are coming, for those of you that have not gotten good rains recently, these are important because they have to stretch everybody till well into next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains across the grains and oil seeds. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. We'll have the final numbers from Tuesday trade coming up. First market analysis from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Mostly higher markets throughout the trading session, a little higher in corn and beans, and double-digit gains in the wheat market. So first of all, Arlen, why overall did we see a bit of strength?
Well, it just seemed to be timing that it was all kind of higher as we look at the soybean market. It was following soy oil, although soy oil market pulled back in some profit taking late in the session, and soybeans kind of held on to some gains. So that was encouraging. And when you look at soybeans, they are expected to gain overall from the RVO requirements, as well as the 45Z provisions provided in the Senate hearing match up close enough to the House that I think the market was encouraged by that as well. So even though soy oil pulled back, soybeans still are expected to see good solid demand gains going forward. As we look at corn, I think there's a factor there of overall we're entering into that time period when traders want to have a little bit of risk premium on. But I think they're also taking some encouragement from demand side, with export demand for old crop being good. But more specifically, the Senate version of the tax bill also removes the indirect land use penalty that kept ethanol from being competitive as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. And so I think that's given some support. But when you also look at these markets, we saw corn ratings, condition ratings go up on Monday afternoon, soybeans and winter wheat going down, spring wheat going up. So we did see spring wheat prices down earlier, but they eventually just got in line and followed winter wheat prices up. The algos kind of amplifying the moves there. But just generally a desire to own these commodities at a time when crude oil was also up on the Middle East tensions that are escalating.
The corn and wheat markets, have they or had they gotten to a point of oversold?
Well, they've gotten cheap. Let's put it that way. And these are markets that whenever they get cheap, we see end users start to say, or at that time of year when we could get a weather market at any point, maybe this is the time to buy. And speculators who have big short positions, the same thing. And so when you look at the general uncertainty, the funds holding those short positions become uncomfortable and start to unwind. And that's also a factor, particularly when you're at cheap levels.
And what do you see weather-wise here in the shorter term that may be supportive or not for the market itself?
Generally, it's looking pretty favorable. I know there are those pockets that have missed the rains. And certainly when you look at the eastern and southern parts of the Midwest, there's still some areas where they're not going to get the corn planted, or it's gone in awfully late, or they're very frustrated with how saturated the soils are. But when you look at the crop as a whole, as the funds are looking, they're very pleased with how this crop is looking, and the growing season for the bulk of the Midwest is looking real good right now in the two-week outlook.
Major weakness in cattle futures. Any particular reason? I'm sure there is.
Well, we're looking at weakness across the board in the protein sector today, and it seems to be tied to a Washington Post story after, first we had the ICE raids arresting illegal immigrants at a meatpacking plant, in Omaha, that had all meatpacking plants worried about workers not showing up and employee shortages, and how that might negatively impact their ability to slaughter animals at both beef and pork packing plants. And then the Trump administration over the weekend said, no, we're calling them off. We're not going to be doing the ICE raids there. And then the Washington Post story today said, maybe that's overstating it. It looks like there may still be arrests made at these facilities. And so the market reacting negatively to that story.
Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. And now final numbers from Tuesday trade, down only on July corn, 3.25 lower, 431.5. Everything else in the grains and oil seeds higher, up 4 cents. September corn, 423.75. Dees, 438.75, up 3.75. Beans overall a decent day, 1074 on July, up 4.25. August up 4.5 cents, 1076.25. And November, 1067.75, a gain of 7.25. Over in wheat, it led the way. July, 549, 12.5 cents higher. Weakness in the meats led lower by live cattle futures. August going $4.90 down to $210.65. and July lean hogs 111.65 down 15, August 111.80 down 87. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.